the one and only radio station of the University of Central Missouri.
Yo, 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 welcome back to Just Talking Sports. I'm your host, JT Noah. And boy, oh boy, do we have a special one for you. I've only got two more episodes to record and give it to you live just because of baseball going on for Crest Ridge the next 2 weeks. And then the following week will be my last show. And then it's finals. And then I graduate. And so I want to remember these last two episodes and give you something special and different. And so I have a special guest, and she's been begging to be on one of my shows for a long time. And it's my pleasure to bring on my wonderful girlfriend, Haley Hill.
Hi, guys. What's up?
Oh, my God. So Haley is actually majoring in special education. So tip of my cap to her. She's doing something very bold for herself. But she is more of a baseball fan than any other sport. And so to kick off this episode, we're actually going to talk baseball. I know, baseball. And if you're a Royals fan, it's been a tough time to start, obviously. Only one win in the first four games. And in the first two games, you didn't even score a run. How cool are the Royals, right? Yeah. So let's get it into it with the Royals, and let's start it off with the pitch clock. And Haley, you're a big baseball fan. You've actually gone to both postseason runs for the Royals. What is your opinion on the pitch clock?
I think it would be interesting what happens with it. It might blow the game, like not give them that many runs and keep the action going. And I think it may just like make the game go faster because baseball is like more of a pastime thing where you just hang out. But now I feel like it's going to go like way faster and you're not going to be able to enjoy those moments.
The real question I have for you is, do you think your dad, Steve, is going to stay at the game the whole game now?
Oh, gosh, no. He will still live in the fifth inning and just leave us behind and find our ride home.
Ah, poor Steve, man.
We love you.
Her dad's awesome. I mean, he has season tickets, but he gets only half the season tickets kind of sense. And he leaves, so he misses the traffic, and I love going with him. But, man, there's sometimes I wish where we stayed for the whole game, but you got to love when you get to go with her dad. Now, the other thing for Haley, you are a woman, and women coaches are becoming more popular, not only in the MLB, but in sports in general. What is your sense, and how do you feel about more women coaches being in the MLB?
I think it's awesome because just as a woman, I think it shows that women should be in like anything, even if they don't know that much about sports. But I think it shows that like women can like sports more as well. And like, it doesn't matter who you are as a person, like you can still love it. And I think baseball can be like a family thing or just like a you by yourself thing. Like, I enjoy just watching it by myself for a pastime.
Yeah,
I mean, it really depends.
I mean, yeah, I totally see and I agree with you. Do you believe that maybe down the line, say 10, 15 years, maybe even sooner, do you think there could be a manager in the MLB as a female?
Yes, I could definitely see that maybe happening sooner than 10 to 15 years, maybe. It just depends on what's going on and how everything goes. But I think women can enjoy it just as much as men. And I think a lot more women will get more into baseball or as sports in general just because more women are going into the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We want to see more of this world is expanding. This world has to adapt to different things. And one of those things is allowing women to be more involved with the sport. It's just not a manly thing. You got to let the women involved as well. And I think it's great to see more MLB coaches becoming female. And even on the NFL side, you're seeing more females on the sideline as well. Now, let's hop over to the Royals, as we are from Kansas City, Haley. What are your realistic expectations for the Royals this year?
Honestly, last year they weren't horrible, but they kind of still were horrible. But like, I still enjoy watching them play, but I just wish they would do a little better. Maybe they'll do a little bit better because they have a new coach, but I don't really know what's going to happen. You never know. Like, it might just change up and be really good.
And folks, if you didn't understand what she said, I don't either, because it's Haley's talk, and sometimes she'll be like, it's good times and then there's bad times. It's like, it's a yes or no question. What are your expectations? And they did bad last year, yes. They weren't good.
They might improve. They might do better.
Do you think they finished last in the AL Central?
I think they'll get second to last.
Second to last. Okay. That's where I have them. I just loved your answer of they didn't do good, but they did good. Like, what?
Stop calling me out like that.
You get to come on the show. You get called out. Alrighty. Who do you think will be the best player on the Royals this season?
I really like Salvador Perez because he's been there since like 2014, 2015, like when we won the World Series. Not in 2014 we did not, but we almost won. But in 2015 we did, and I think that would really help a lot for us. I think I just like him because I think he's like an all-around great player, and that's the one I really always know. There's some of them I don't know because it re-signs so many players a year, but I vote Salvador.
All right. Well, I think Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be the best player on the Royals as long as he is on the team and not traded. Young star, we don't know if he'll be re-signed by the Royals. All right. Another thing for you is, what do you consider a good season for the Royals? Like, what is a good season in your books for the Royals this year?
Winning like 3 more games than we did last year.
Just 3 more?
Yes, because we were horrible last year. We did get dominated and killed by teams that we should have beat, but we didn't.
I think a good season, I wouldn't put a win total to it. I would say not finishing last in the AL Central. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how they do. Like you said, they do have a new manager, but they also have 7 other different new coaches on that team, obviously bringing in some other players. But Bobby Witt Jr., MJ Melendez are the big key young stars. Zach Greinke's still there. How many games do you think you'll go to this season?
I don't know. It really depends on, like, what my dad has and, like, what my family wants to do. But, like, hopefully maybe, like, 8 or 10 maybe. Like, because last summer I think we went to, like, a little more than that. But, like, I think it would be fun to go to as many as I can. And especially if it's with, like, family or friends. And I just think it's, like, something that I've always enjoyed doing since I was a little girl. And I think I will enjoy it even more.
Have you caught a home run or a foul ball in the air?
No, I have not. But actually, last summer, JT and Charles and Nathan Johnson and I all were at the outfield party porch and just having fun, and we almost caught a ball. And Nathan literally jumped over me and body slammed me to get a ball. And I'm like, what just happened? And we saw it on TV that night. We're all just like cracking up. But it was that was like one of my favorite memories last summer with all of them.
Yeah, it was me, you, Charles, Nathan. And didn't Zoe go?
I think Zoe went, or I don't think she went to that one.
I don't know.
Remember.
I don't remember, but I know it was me, for sure, me, you, and Charles, Nathan. Charles is my brother. Nathan is a good friend of ours, mine, especially went to high school with. It was a great time. If you haven't gone to the party porch ever, I would really take your time and go to that. I know maybe the Royals won't be that good this season, but listen, if you go to the party porch and the Royals are bad, they're going to be cheap seats. We got an opportunity where we bought a ticket for the party porch at, I think, $70, and then it ended up being a doubleheader, so we got the party porch for $70 for 2 games. It comes with all-you-can-eat food, and then there's also drinks there where you can get, it's only soda/pop that is free. You can also buy the alcohol back there, and it's a really good time. It's right by the bullpen and area and all that.
The alcohol is included, actually. It's just beer and stuff, but like the hard alcohol is not included.
Oh, excuse me. The hard alcohol is not included. The beer and stuff is included. My bad. I don't drink.
But you have to be 21 and plus to get it.
Well, obviously, that is the law, Haley. Gosh. Anyway, that was a really fun time. And like you said, you did get body slammed by Nathan Johnson, and it was funny. We also made it on TV a couple times because
we're right by the outfield.
The Royals have played a couple games. They've played 4. They've won 1. They were swept right away. Have you seen the powder blue all jerseys yet?
I literally love them because they remind me of like my childhood and like just from being like, it's just like, it's like a throwback. Like, I remember when they had them when I was younger.
Man, I was going to ask you if you liked them or not. You answered my question. I was going to say, do you like them? And you say you like them. That is great to hear. I think they're great. Brings back the George Brett vibes where the Pine Tar incident happened and all that. My last question for you on the Royal side, what are your thoughts on the team moving from where they are right now for a new stadium?
I don't think they should. I like where it is. I think it's perfect. And I think it's easy to get out of. Like, it's not that chaotic, but it's still chaotic. But you still get out in a decent amount of time, like, even if it is, like, a full game. And I think moving downtown will push people to not go. And I think it will just change the atmosphere and how people do things around it. And I think it wouldn't help us with ticket sales. I think it would be harder to find parking. And that's what I think a lot of people will say no to.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the movement. I like how both stadiums are right next to each other. And it gives both the Chiefs and Royals, when they're doing good, it gives them the ideal situation where they can park in both sides of the lot. And so I think the parking is great for what is happening. And that is fabulous. And so now, the last thing we're going to talk about before we take our first break is the growth in women's sports, Haley. Obviously, we talked about the Royals. We've talked about the women's side of the MLB. But all in all, the women's sport is growing, whether that be coaching or even playing the sport. What do you think is the biggest factor for that reasoning?
I think the biggest factor is that just in general, people are starting to enjoy sports more, especially women. And I think people can relate to it more. And I think that it's more on TV to watch, and I think it's just something that, like, brings people together. Like, my little brother got me involved in baseball, and that's why I love it so much. And, like, it's one sport I actually understand without being really confused and not asking a million questions. And I think I just really enjoy it. Like, it's something that I don't want to give up loving, but, like, I could see, like, I just think a lot of people are starting to enjoy it again.
And what sport do you think can take the biggest jump from women being more involved in that sport? Do you think it could be
the NFL?
You think the NFL could take even more of a jump?
Yes.
With, like, women coaches being out there?
Yes, because I think maybe, like, sometimes women might know more knowledge than men, but not, like, all knowledge. But, like, I think it could help from a different perspective too, like, just having it. And I think it would really just work well with the coaches, and I think it would show dynamic. And I think that could really help, too. And I think it would just show that women can do pretty much anything.
Well, there you go. Haley's out here telling us that the NFL deserves more women, female, in the coaching staff. And I also believe it could be a huge help for any sport. And I think with the MLB and the NFL especially, and even the NHL, I think that's where you could see the biggest jump with females being more active in it, just because with the NBA, it's got the WNBA. The MLB, you have the softball, but there's nothing really professional there. So I think that's where you could see a lot of women taking this step and trying to help evolve the NFL. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're actually going to talk Final Four, not only the men's side, but also the women's side. You're listening to Just Talkin' Sports right here on UCM The Beat.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Only in the forest can you see this. And this. And this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
I didn't know it could do that!
Because one trip to the forest can spark a world of difference.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, canoeing, fishing, or camping. Or create your own adventure with family and friends, and you might just see this. Your moment's out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Just Talking Sports. Right back at you. I'm still JT Noah alongside Haley Hill with me on the show. She is happy to be here. We're talking a little bit. We talked a little bit about the female side of the sports, and now we're going to get into it even more with the women's national championship, the Final Four as well. And boy, oh boy, did that not disappoint, Haley. That was a phenomenal Final Four and championship on the women's side of college basketball.
That was just the wildest thing ever. Like, I think it's really cool how, like, they have that, and I think it was nice to see, like, different teams in it than just the same old, like, one seeds and two seeds. Like, I think it's kind of nice that they were different teams and not just the normal teams we always see in the Final Four.
Yeah, and what she's talking about is in the Final Four, it was the number three seed LSU Tigers versus the number one seed Virginia Tech, and the LSU Tigers defeated Virginia Tech 79-72 with the Tigers outscoring the Hokies 29-13 in the fourth quarter. They were trailing 59-50 headed to the fourth quarter. What a comeback for LSU right there, Haley.
I would agree. That is a big comeback for LSU.
And a key factor for them getting back into the game was their 18 turnovers they forced on defense for the Tigers. And now when you move on to the other side, the winner of this game was going to face LSU in the championship, and a lot of people thought it was going to be South Carolina with a breeze. Las Vegas had them as a 10-point favorite if you were betting on the game. Instead, Caitlin Clark showed up and showed the world why she is a phenomenon, and everyone is like oozing and awesome over her as she drops 41 points, and they beat, the Iowa Hawkeyes beat the perfect season South Carolina Gamecocks 77-73. Like I said, it ends South Carolina's perfect season. And Caitlin Clark dropped 41 points, 8 assists on the game. But here's the crazier stat, Haley. She scored or assisted on all 18 points that Iowa had in the fourth quarter.
That is just insane to me. Like, good for her. Like, that's amazing. Like, that's mind-blowing. I remember watching the game, and I'm like, are they going to pull it out? And they did, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, we turned it on with, we were watching, we were at my house, and we were watching some TV, and we decided to turn the game on, and I'm like, Caitlin Clark out here just throwing up these shots. It looked like Steph Curry out there with the shots she was making, and they just kept going down, and then she was getting fouled, and she was going to the line, and when she was at the free throw line, it literally was just hitting on it. There was no rim for the basketball to hit, and that's clutchness right there from Caitlin Clark and helping Iowa really pull off the upset. So we had no one seeds, like Haley said, in the championship game. You had the number three seed LSU Tigers versus the number two seed Iowa Hawkeyes. And LSU pulls off the victory by scoring the most points in championship history. LSU wins 102-85.
That's just insane to me that they won by that many. And, like, I was cheering for LSU just because I think the coach is kind of cool. Like, I like her outfits, but, like, I just don't watch women's basketball. Like, I'm not a huge basketball fan, so, like, I kind of just was there to watch it, to watch. But, like, getting the most points ever in a championship game, that's just wild to me that they scored 102 points. Like, that's a lot just for, in general, like, the men's don't even barely hit over 100.
Yeah, it was really insane. And if you don't know, women's college basketball does play four quarters, unlike the men's where they play two halves. Now, they both equal up to the two quarters equal up to 20 minutes, and they just have the four quarters. That's how the women's side works. There's nothing wrong with that. The crazier thing is that there was 9.9 million viewers to watch that women's college basketball, which is obviously, which doesn't surprise me the most ever to watch a women's college basketball game. And then there's still Caitlin Clark, folks. Caitlin Clark still had 30 points, scored the most points in postseason history. Combined is what that's going by, not with the 30. But with all those points scored, she now breaks the record for the most points scored by a woman in the women's college basketball tournament. It's just a phenomenal feat for Clark. And then you talk about Kim Mulkey, who wins her second national championship, but this time with a different team. This time with LSU, obviously. Her first one came with Baylor. And so that's a nice resume. You say you like her outfits. Her outfits to me are a little bit chaotic, a little bit too much for my liking. I'm more of the simple guy. Go with the natural colors. She out there looking like a peacock sometimes, or the outfit she was wearing in the national championship, it gave me those vibes of where you would rub it and it would switch colors, and then you rub it again and it would go to a different color. You guys know what I'm talking about, like the little bead things. Anyway, her outfits were just like, they hurt the eye sometimes, okay? I give her the credit. She did a well done job coaching that LSU team, taking them to the national championship and winning it. But my last topic on this women's side, Haley, is smack talking. I want to know what your thoughts are on smack talking.
I don't think it should be allowed. Like, I think there should be like a foul, because like I think certain things shouldn't be said, and I think you should kind of like watch what you say because you don't know. And plus, like, if like the coach is encouraging it, like I think there should be something that should happen. But I'm fine if like it's like not like hardcore, but like if it's like really mean stuff, like you should watch what you're saying because it's just like not nice, and like they should just promote it, because you have to remember kids are watching it. But at the same time, like, yeah, you can't hear the players or the coach, but at the same time, like, you can read their lips and know what they're saying, or like if they're saying something disrespectful.
Are you okay with like Angel Reese for LSU at the final was pointing at her ring finger, saying they're getting a ring to Iowa? Are you okay with that kind of stuff? And the see me now, see me don't from the John Cena stuff? Are you okay with that stuff?
I don't really know. I don't really get why you would do that. Like, I think it's kind of rude because you're showing that you already have that title going. And I think you should just keep your mouth shut and just see what happens. Like, if you're showing them that you're going to get a ring, like, I think you should just keep that to yourself until after you get the ring and just not promote it. Because who knows? You might just, karma just might hit you back and you might not even get it. And then someone will come back on social media and be like, you did this and you lost. Like, that could happen too. Like, anything could happen these days in this world with that. And I think it's just disrespectful. Like, the John Cena thing is kind of funny, but like, after a while, it kind of gets old.
Well, okay. I see where she's coming from. Obviously, Haley, she can be the nice person in our relationship. I'm the mean one sometimes, and you could tell by that response. And with my process on this was, I'm totally cool with smack talking. I think it's a part of the game. I did it when I played sports. I know my brother does it. I smack talk my brothers all the time, and so I have no problem with it. The problem I had with Angel Reese on Sunday was the overuse of it. She went out of her way to find Caitlin Clark, and everyone that's trying to use the Caitlin Clark situation where she does the John Cena motion across her face, she did it towards her bench when they were playing Maryland. If you don't know what happened, it was they were playing Iowa was playing a game, they were playing Maryland, and as she turns around to look at her bench, Caitlin Clark does the John Cena thing, and it was one time. When you go watch Sunday's game, you see, not only is Angel Reese pointing at her finger, saying it's my time, towards Caitlin Clark at the free throw line, she then goes out of her way as the clock is ticking away, which I think this is where it gets a little excessive for the smack talking. She's going out of her way to find Caitlin Clark to do the John Cena motion in her face. And obviously, I think that's just a little over the top. I mean, I'm not going to say that that was a low ball by Angel Reese or she's a bad person. I thought that was a little too much from Angel Reese right there. Obviously, I don't know what I would do in that kind of situation, about to win a national championship for the first time in school history. So I just thought it was a little too much from Angel Reese right there. And obviously, if you haven't saw, Caitlin Clark takes the high road because Caitlin Clark is trying to be the nice person. All she's doing is giving praise to LSU and Coach Mulkey on the season LSU had. And she still is taking the high road today. I saw a clip on SportsCenter of her talking and saying that if you win, you should be able to do what she did. And so I respect Caitlin Clark, and I respect Angel Reese. I just thought it was a little too much from Angel Reese right there about the John Cena situation. In and of itself, congrats to LSU on winning their first national championship in women's college basketball, and we'll see what they can do next year. Now we move on to the men's side of the Final Four and championship. Boy, oh boy, did that give us some good stuff as well, Haley. Let's start off with the 5-seed at San Diego State beating the 9-seed FAU Owls. They are the Owls. They won 72-71. The big thing is Lamont Butler's buzzer beater to win. It was actually the first buzzer beater to win a game when the team was trailing. What was going through your head when you saw that shot go up?
I just didn't know it was going to happen. My heart was beating through that whole game. Like, I didn't know. My bracket was already busted. So I kind of was just cheering on San Diego State for my cousin that goes there. Just because, like, it would be cool. Like, my JT and my dad were talking about, like, it would be cool, like, two Florida schools playing each other. But, like, at the same time, like, when you have family that goes to a university, like, you kind of want to cheer for them. And, like, I just think it's really cool that they just shot it. And you never know with buzzer beaters if they're going to make it. And I think that really was, like, cool, but at the same time it's like heart racing because you're like, oh gosh, are they gonna make it or are they gonna lose it all?
Yeah, I'm actually on the other side here. I was wanting FAU to win, and it was like, wow. And if everyone was surprised that they didn't take a timeout once they got the rebound, because FAU shot the ball, it didn't go in, they get the rebound with 8 seconds, and San Diego State, instead of taking the timeout, they decide to bring it up and then shoot it, and it goes in at the buzzer, obviously, and they win 72-71. And the greatest part about this whole thing was My grandma's over watching the game, and she's like, oh no, they missed. Oh no, they're gonna lose. And Butler shoots it, and she goes, don't make it. Oh my God, they made it. They won. Unbelievable. And she's like stomping out of the front room. She's so upset, and she has no dog in this fight at all. And I'm like, Grandma, it's okay. She's like, I wanted the Florida team to win. It was just the funniest thing. It just put the cherry on top. It was like, okay, my grandma's never this amped about basketball games. It was some of the funniest stuff you'll listen to. And then, the huge thing was San Diego State was trailing by 14 points in this game in the second half. And one of the biggest turnarounds, key moments in this game was there was a span of 59 seconds where the Aztecs of San Diego State got 6 offensive rebounds, and a lot of it came from free throw opportunities. They would get to the line, they would make one, miss one, get the rebound, then go back up, get fouled, make one, miss one, and they were just clawing their way back into this game, and it really helped for them. And I mean, we got to give props to FAU. They were their 9 seed, have the most wins in college basketball this season with 35. There's nothing, obviously, you want to win the national championship, get to the national championship. But for what they did, they put their school back on the map, showed them wherever FAU is located, and shown them an owl can fight in a battle. And then in the second game, obviously the winner of this game got to face San Diego State. It was number 4 seed at UConn versus the 5 seed Miami Hurricanes. And UConn kept doing what they do best and winning by double digits as they won 72-59. What a run right now as they're going into the championship by UConn, Haley.
I just think it was weird. I don't know. I'm a Kansas fan, so UConn's not really my school. And like they just have one, like JT and I were talking about like national championships and who we want before, and he was like, "Yeah, UConn's won like 4 in the last like 20 years or something." And I'm like, oh, great. I don't want that. Like, I want someone else to win. Like, I get that you want your team to win, but I think it's nice to, like, have new teams win. Like, I know Kansas won last year, but, like, I like seeing new teams. Like, when FAU was in the tournament, no one knew who they were. And that's what I think really was cool. And, like, I had to look up where they were located because my dad and I both did not know. And he knows everything. But, like, I think Miami, like, had a chance, but they didn't. They lost by 11. Like, that's a really hard pull. And I think they could have tried, but I think they really didn't try their hardest to try to win that.
I'm glad I brought you on my show because now you make my math look a little bit better. It was 12. It's 72-59, not 11.
I'm dyslexic, so don't call me out like
but
that.
But let's go.
Thanks, Mom, for that.
Thank you. I'm not always the bad one in the room with math, Mom. But UConn, I mean, they started the game on a 9-0 run, going up 9-0. They never trailed this game, and they got up by as many as 20 points on Miami. It was just not their day for Miami. Miami, which is ranked 5th going into that game offensively, they shot the ball 33% the whole game, and only one player hit half their shots. Now, the big thing, obviously, was Miami made it to their first Final Four in school history, so that's the props to them. Now they got to take another step, and if it keeps going the way they went, last year they made it to their first Elite Eight, this year they made it to their first Final Four, next year, hey, first championship game. So if the calculation keeps working for Miami, in 2 more years, they'll be national championship winners because they'll lose tomorrow. I mean, they'll lose in the championship game next year, and then they'll win it. So, hey, Miami. Just keep your hopes alive, okay? Also, now we move on to the championship game. And obviously, it was San Diego State versus UConn. And as you were talking, they had 4, UConn did, until last night, where they get their 5th since 1999, which is actually, they only have 5. So all their national championships that they have won have came since 1999. A credible thing from UConn as they won again by double digits, this time by 17, 76-59. UConn is the first team since the 2018 Villanova squad to beat every opponent by double digits. Just an incredible feat by UConn, isn't it, Haley? Coming in as the four seed in the whole tournament and winning the whole thing.
I think it's just amazing that no one seeds or two seeds like made it all the way through.
No three seeds.
And three seeds. Like, that's just, like, as I said, like, as, like, a Kansas fan, that's always usually a one seed. Like, they usually make it pretty far, but they lost, sad, rip. But so did some other schools that were one seeds and two seeds. Like Mizzou and Northwestern.
Whoa. Mizzou or Northwestern were not a one or two seed, my friend.
I know, but like they all lost in the same round, like all in the same day. They all lost, and that was the saddest moment in our household. Besides the Mizzou part, like, no one really cared in my household. But, like, when Northwestern and Kansas lost, we kind of just had, like, a sadness in our heart. But then I started cheering for other teams that I would normally not cheer for. And I'm very proud that they did what they could, and I think it's really amazing. But I wish another team won besides UConn.
Wow. So you would have been okay with San Diego State?
Heck yeah.
I feel like you would have been okay with any of the Final Four teams besides UConn. So you would have been okay with Miami, FAU, or San Diego State?
Yes, okay. For sure.
Wow. I get where you're coming from. And the crazy thing was, is there was not even a one seed in the Elite Eight. So all the one seeds were gone. One of the one seeds, at least it wasn't Kansas, they lost to a 16 seed, FDU. Sorry, Purdue. And so it was crazy to see that. Then Kansas obviously lost to Arkansas by 1 point. But the thing was, to me, with the Arkansas-Kansas game, the big problem with me with that one was Bill Self was not on the sideline. Bill Self was not on the court. I know you don't want to give asterisks to anything, but, I mean, can we look ahead real quick and see what UConn did to Arkansas? Oh, wait, they beat them by 30. So I don't think Kansas would have done any better than Arkansas, because UConn was literally on fire, and it showed throughout the game, throughout this tournament. They were on a mission. And I said this earlier, and I said this on my podcast or my show when I did my bracket. I thought UConn could make it to the championship game. I thought they would play Alabama and lose. Well, guess what? They got to the championship game. Not only did they not play Alabama, they got to play San Diego State, and they won. So I thought UConn could be a really good dark horse team, and it proved to be wise, as they were the four seed. Now, for San Diego State, I mean, even with the loss, you got to keep your heads high, just like FAU did. I mean, you come in, you're the first Mountain West team to win an NCAA tournament in 11 straight games. Then you beat the number one overall seed in Alabama. You literally beat them to, like, shivereens, because you were the first team that actually showed physicality towards them. And also, you're the first California team to make it to the title game in 17 years. So props off to you, the Aztecs. You did a great job for not only your school, but for your alumni and all your fans out there. I know your fans are proud of them, proud of you and what you have accomplished. Now, let's do something a little different here, Haley. I'm gonna give you something real quick. Do you think UConn can repeat as national championship winners next year?
I don't think so, because a lot of seeds that have won the championship have not won prior, like have won the year after. What I've noticed.
Kansas. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I don't watch that much basketball either. Like, you can't, like...
No, I'm saying Kansas lost this year.
I know, but that's what year. I'm saying. Is, like, yeah. They don't usually, like, go two in a row. Like,
yeah, no.
We've never really seen two. If, like, Mizzou won 1 year, are they going to win next year? Probably not. Depending... Unless if they're all, their whole team's, like, juniors and, like, sophomores and some freshmen, maybe. But, like, no. I don't see that happening. I don't think it's ever happened. But we'll find out. Maybe we'll do some research after the show, but, like, I don't really know.
I like how you think we're going to do research after the show when you have a boyfriend who actually knows everything about it. And I could tell you this, it was Florida, because it was a great time for those teams when they were the back-to-back champs. It was with Billy Donovan in the 05-06 era. And then with the 06-07, Billy Donovan did it. And it was that time. And then there's also been the instance with Duke and Kentucky. So it's happened multiple times. Obviously, the other two are blue bloods. And Kansas considers themselves a blue blood. Do you consider UConn a blue blood team?
No, I think it's Kansas, I think it's Kentucky, and I think it's North Carolina, and I think it's Duke.
Okay.
Those are the four blue bloods I know of. I don't think the Huskies are a blue blood team. Like, I don't really, they're like more of a Navy than like a royal blue. They're more of a Navy.
Okay, I forgot I was talking to Haley.
I'm all about color.
Yeah, no, it's blue. Oh, man, I messed up there. Okay, I led her into a dark, dark hole there, folks. When I asked you if it was a blue blood team, it means, like, they are historically good teams, not their color. But that's okay. I slipped you into a really bad hole there, and you took the Blues. My bad. No, a blue blood team, you actually had it correct almost. Those are qualified blue blood teams. It just means, are they historically good? So do you think UConn is historically good enough to be in the blue blood category?
No.
Okay. Also, UCLA is considered a blue blood team. But I am sorry I threw you into that deep, dark hole. I am very, very sorry. And I actually don't see UConn also repeating. I don't think... If there was a team that I thought could have repeated this year, it wasn't even going to be UConn. I thought if somehow, some way, if Marquette would have made it, which obviously they didn't, they lost to Michigan State, they would have had the better chance. UConn, obviously, they're going to lose a couple players, and it's going to be hard for them. Hawkins was shooting some balls real well for that team, and he's going to leave. You also have the player who actually won the most improved player of most outstanding player of the tournament, and Adama Sanogo, who could leave. If he comes back, that's great. If he leaves, you also have another center who's played well. So there's those different kind of categories as well for that. Now, since we had talked about Purdue and we have talked about other one seeds, Haley, how did your bracket turn out to be this year?
Well, I made upwards of 20 of them. I just picked them randomly, like they were really just like through my heart. And I had Purdue winning the whole thing, and literally for the first day, they were perfect. It was perfect. And I'm like, JT and I were like cheering me on, like, if I get on ESPN or SportsCenter, like, I'm literally changing my name and putting JT on it because I am not going on there. And I think, in my opinion, like, I felt like I did pretty well, and then Purdue lost to FDU. And I was very sad. Like, I had some tears, yes, but I got over it. Like, it was okay. But, like, I just think they tried their best. But, like, as a 16 seed beating a 1 seed, like, I was happy for the 16 seed. Because it just makes me happy that it's a different team going into the tournament than just the same team, same teams. And that really helps me a lot. And I think it was really fun to make them. Like, I just was competing with his friends and, like, my dad and my brother. My mom had no idea what was going on. She was lost for the whole thing, and it was kind of funny. Sorry, Mom. And it was kind of fun to just watch, like, games. Like, we watched it literally for 12 hours one day, and I thought I was going to lose my mind. But, like, you know what? Like, I'm dating a sports fanatic. Like, I kind of have to get over it at this point. Like, it's been almost 2.5 years. So, like, I love it. But at the same time, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, more sports. Like, can we take a break for, like, an hour and just watch something else? But I just enjoy it. Like, but I think it's really fun making brackets with people. And, like, I think competing with them is really fun because you kind of get to see. Like, some people have K-State winning it all. Not going to lie, I did too. But, like, some people, I'm like, how did that even happen? Like, I'm sorry. But I did not see UConn winning at all. I did not.
Okay, well, it was funny because I was actually going crazy. I was like, there's no way that Haley has a perfect bracket. And she was like kind of mocking me. She's like, ha, so much for being a sports fan there, JT, because she has this perfect bracket. And then her bracket went from, like, first to very last because Purdue lost. And it was just like, dang, karma sucks, doesn't it, Haley? And so my biggest thing to you, because you're kind of, I consider you a neutral college basketball fan because you don't watch much college basketball. And yeah, you consider yourself sometimes a Kansas fan, but are you okay with your bracket being busted due to an upset like FDU over Purdue?
Yes, for sure. I'm very okay with it because, like, like I said, I like new teams going into it, and I think it really brings pride to their school and, like, they and, like, making people, like, go and play to their universities or, like, go. I think that really helps too, just, like, knowing that there's other schools out there than, like, the same teams, and every year they're in the same colleges. Like, it kind of gets boring to the point no one wants to watch it.
Just like in football, but yes, like in college football with Alabama and all of them. But FDU, do you believe, was that nice little saying right there when FDU won. like I said, my bracket had some really good stuff. It was not perfect after the third game, but that's okay. I had five of the eight Elite Eight, and then I only had one of the four Final Four. So that just shows you I really thought I had something, and it did not work. The only team that I had in my Final Four that got there was UConn. UConn I had in the championship, like I said, losing to Alabama, and obviously Alabama decided to lose to San Diego State. So if you actually want to take it like I did, if you just want to switch Alabama in the San Diego State game, I would have had a really nice bracket, okay? Just saying, folks. All right. When we come back on after our last little bit of break, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Chiefs, a little bit about her favorite player, and then I'm going to do some rapid questions for her where she has no idea what I'm about to ask her. You're listening to Just Talking Sports right here on UCM The Beat.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Did you know that the University of Central Missouri has been leading innovation for nearly 150 years? With more accreditations and more qualified faculty members, our commitment to academic success is unparalleled. And we make sure every student receives the support they need to graduate on time and with less debt. So whatever opportunity you're looking for, make your impact sooner at UCM, with campuses located in Warrensburg, Lee Summit, and online. Find out more about UCM and the power of opportunity in action at ucmo.edu.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Yo, welcome back to Just Talking Sports. I'm your host, JT, still with our special guest, Haley, who thinks Blue Bloods means the colors of the jerseys on college basketball. Well, we're on to the Chiefs in the NFL now, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. It was a while ago, but she is a Chiefs fan, and she does have a favorite player. And I'll let her tell us why this player is her favorite player. I will give you a hint before she tells you. He is on the defensive side, but nothing other than this, I give it to Haley to tell us why so-and-so is her favorite player on the Chiefs.
My favorite player on the Chiefs is Chris Jones, because I have met him, and he's actually like one of the sweetest people I've ever met. And I actually met him in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru at 135th. Don't come visit me there. I don't work there anymore. I am currently unemployed. I work at 113th and Null if you want to come visit.
So wait, you just said you're unemployed, though.
It's complicated. Anyway, but I think he's just a really overall great guy, and I think he's someone that you would just want to like hang out with and like just drink a beer with, and I think you'd be a great time. And I just think it's fun. Like, he's very a good guy, and yeah, that's why he's one of my favorite players.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met Chris Jones. I've taken a picture of him at the parade, and he's a really cool guy. He's down to earth. But if you're on the field against him in the trenches, I don't want to be against him. Like, he is a dog. D-A-W-G. Dog. Okay? But when he's off the field, he's like a nice little cuddly teddy bear, he kind of feels like. I see. And so it's really cool that you met him. You also got him to send your dad a video.
Yeah, my dad was really shocked. Like, I just asked. I was like, can you take a video for my dad? Because we watched the Chiefs games together. And he's like, okay. And he took it. And my dad's like in shock. Like, his eyes were like, oh my goodness. Like, how'd you get that? And then I showed JT and Charles. And they're like, why didn't you not do my name? Why didn't you do my name? Like, they got so mad at me for no reason. But, like, not going to lie, it's like one of my biggest flexes ever when I talk about the Chiefs. Like, I'm like, look who I met. And they're like, what?
Well, I have a flex now, too. So it's okay. I had a luxurious need to take my phone at the parade that you actually left at early.
Okay, sorry that it was cold and I was tired and I did not want to be there. It was freezing and plus I just didn't want to be there.
I'm just saying, I know you got your phone taken by Chris Jones and he said something, but Le'Jarius Sneed during the parade took mine and took a video. It was kind of fun. If you don't know about that, I thought I told everyone, but yeah, we were at the parade. Me and Charles got there at 2 a.m. the very next the morning of the parade. We love to get there early. We want to have front row seats. Panned out really well. Got front row seats and we were just doing our thing. We got some high fives from players. I got some pictures with some people. Justin Reed took a picture with me. And then we see Le'Jarius Sneed, and I call Le'Jarius Sneed over. He comes over. He takes my phone, gets a video, all cool things. And there's actually a photographer that got a photo of Le'Jarius Sneed holding my phone in his hand while taking the video. A really cool snapshot. I have that on my phone as well. I'm going to get that printed and put down in our man cave in our basement. And then I also threw a football on the bus. I mean, I'm not quite sure who caught it. He was some random person, it looked like, that was probably on the practice squad. No offense to you, sir. And you caught it and threw it back. So we have a connection now. I don't know your name, but we have a connection. Anyway, what is your most memorable thing from this season as a Chiefs fan?
I think one of my favorite moments is just, like, it's a weird one. I like going to JT's, like, grandma and grandpa's house or just going to his house. And watching it with them, like, ever since we started dating, like, that's been kind of a tradition. Like, we've only watched one Chiefs game at my house. And my dad got mad that we were there. And we kind of just were, like, and we kind of decided as, like, that is our tradition, going to Tom and Joy Malkle's house and watching it. And that's been really special for me. And I think it really just makes me enjoy it more. And it makes me enjoy the little things. Like, I look forward to, like, watching the games. Like, I wear my shirt and I wear one of my dad's jerseys that he has. But, like, it's something that, like, we never did. Before we started dating, I would just literally sit on the couch and do homework while watching it. And JT never believed me that I would watch the games. He literally asked my dad, and my dad's like, yeah, she would watch every game. And he's like, no, she didn't. And he's like, yeah, she did, JT. And I think that really helps. And, like, he's really polite when you ask him questions about the games, except my dad, like, he gets kind of mad when you talk.
Who's polite?
You.
Oh,
you,
okay.
JT.
Oh,
my dad's okay. Kind of, like, ruthless when it comes to those things. Like, he asks, and he's like, be quiet. I'm watching a game. And my mom are like, okay. But, like, I think it really helps that he knows so much. And plus, I think it makes me enjoy it a little bit more. And he makes me get to know players that I never really would know.
Yeah. It's weird because, like you said, we used to go to my grandpa's to watch the Chiefs game. And then this year we got the man cave built and we wanted my grandpa to come over to watch the game in our man cave. He got to watch one game in the man cave before he got super sick and then was in the hospital for the rest of the season before he passed away. And so that was, as much as this season for the Chiefs was memorizable, I should say, and it made me think of a lot of things. It was just, it's funny how the world works in its ways. And watching the Chiefs win the Super Bowl right after, I mean, not right after, but obviously a couple months after my grandpa had passed away, it was something. I think me and my brother will cherish that moment for a while. Me and my brother are huge Chiefs fans. My grandpa made both of us huge Chiefs fans. We have a skull that we rub. I mean, me and Charles will rub that skull. If we do not rub the skull before any of the Chiefs games, we're going to lose, okay? That's how it is, all right? We rub the skull. We make everyone rub the skull that's in our house or in the basement. And I think that's just one of the coolest things, is to spend time with my brother and cherish that. I cherished it with my grandpa, and I'm going to cherish it with my brother too.
And another thing that we did, I love Charles's and JT's, like, celebrations. Like, they run and butt heads and, like, do their thing. It's kind of funny because I have a younger brother, but, like, we don't have that special relationship. Like, we do, but we don't. And, like, I think him and Charles doing it is the funniest thing ever. Like, I know Zoe and I always have the biggest smile on our face because we're like, these kids are acting like complete idiots, but it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, and so it's, and that's just how it is, and it's fun and great to have with it is those memories. And so as we turn the page to the new season, do you think the Chiefs could repeat?
I think they could definitely repeat, but I think it's going to take a lot of time and effort, and I think it's really going to change a lot of things for them to do things. But I think if they keep their momentum going and their positive attitude and, like, stuff going on, I think they can definitely repeat.
Yeah, it's going to be hard, obviously, with Patrick Mahomes being the quarterback. I mean, it's kind of easy to go with him, but the AFC can get hard with Aaron Rodgers maybe on the move to the Jets. So you obviously have Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. But we have 10 minutes left, and this is the special time that I have made for myself to quiz and go crazy about some things to see Haley's knowledge about sports. We're first going to start with local stuff. We're going to start with the Chiefs and Royals, and we're going to build our way up, okay? So we've been talking Chiefs, so we'll stick to the Chiefs. Your favorite player is Chris Jones. Give me his number jersey that he wears and what position.
He's number 95, and his position is a defensive tackle.
Wow. Okay. All right. Light work. He's your favorite player. You better know that. All right. Let's move on to this one. What position does Blake Bell play?
I don't even know who that is. Is that just like a random player? Is he on the practice squad?
No, he's not. He's actually a huge part.
I don't know.
Plays tight end.
That doesn't help my situation.
I asked what position he played. He plays tight end.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
It is my pleasure.
Okay, all right, let's move on to this. What is Andy Reid's favorite food?
Cheeseburgers.
Oh, look at that. There we go. Nice. Okay, all right. Who scored the game-winning points to move the Chiefs onto the AFC Championship and also was the one that won the Super Bowl?
Travis Kelce?
No.
Harrison Buckner?
Hey, there you go. Harrison Buckner was the one. Kicked the game-winning field goal against the Bengals, and then he also kicked the game-winning field goal against the Eagles. So you get a half a point for that one. You said the wrong one first. And so that has to be in consideration there, Haley. Now let's move on to the Royals. Your favorite player is Salvador Perez. What number is Salvador Perez?
13, and he's a catcher.
Oh, okay.
He's a DH.
Oh, I didn't even have to ask for the position, folks. She already knows that. Okay, all right. Here we go. On opening day, there was a bobblehead giveaway at Kauffman Stadium. Who was the player?
Bobby Witt Jr.
Oh, wow. Dang. She knows this. Okay, all right. Who was the opening day pitcher for the Royals?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Oh, wow. Didn't watch the game. That's tough.
Well, you got invited and you said no.
Okay. All right. Who was the pitcher?
I don't know.
Zach Greinke.
Oh, he's been there for a fat minute.
He's been there for two seasons. He was gone for a while. He was gone for a while. He did play for the Royals back in the day. But yeah, he was gone for a while and then he came back. But yes, he's been associated with the Royals for a while. Okay. We're going to go back a little bit to when the Royals were in the postseason. Who was the DH for the Royals in the first time they made the postseason?
Eric Hosmer?
No. He wore number 16.
Billy Butler?
There you go. Had to give you a hint. It worked out. Okay. Who did the Royals lose to in their first World Series appearance in 2014?
The Houston Astros.
They cannot lose to the Houston Astros because they are in the American League, Haley.
Oh, they lost to...
You had the colors right.
The Orioles.
The Orioles are also in the American League. It was the San Francisco Giants.
Oh, I knew that because my dad's... I knew that.
You
now.
Didn't know that, though.
<I didn't>.
Okay, who did the Royals beat in the World Series the following year?
I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. That starts with an N.
The Nationals?
No. The city they play in starts with an N. So like blank, blank, blank. It's a city name with two names.
I don't even
know. NYC.
The Mets.
There we go. Holy.
I was going to say the Yankees.
Oh my gosh. That's another American League team.
I don't know my leagues.
You don't know your leagues? Okay. All right. What's your favorite ballpark food to get at the stadium?
I like a nice quark, ice cold beer, or I really...
Food!
I know. My favorite is a pretzel or nachos.
Pretzel or nachos? Do you dip it in cheese, the pretzel?
Of course, and JT always takes a bite.
Duh. Do you like jalapenos with your nachos?
Of course. Shout out to my dad for that one.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised you didn't say Dippin' Dots. You always want those Dippin' Dots at the stadium.
Yes, and then there's always a long line, and we give up. Or we get those roasted nuts, too. We like those too.
It just depends on roasted cashews, dude.
It depends on where we're sitting as well. Like, if we're in the party porch, like, it really is, like, limited, because it's, like, on the by the home base side, but, like, it just depends.
Yeah. Okay, if the Royals just blew up and were done with MLB and decided not to be in a baseball team, who would be your favorite baseball team?
The Chicago Cubs.
Oh, yeah. She's a Cubby fans, folks. That's a good answer. It's hard for me to pick. I wouldn't pick the St. Louis Cardinals, I'll be honest. Like, everyone's like, oh, we just jumped to St. Louis. Nah, no. Did you see the St. Louis Rams fans jump to Kansas City? I really didn't see that happen. I didn't see that happening. I think, honestly, I always had loved the Pittsburgh Pirates because of Andrew McCutchen. And so I might go with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I know I wouldn't be a Yankees fan. Nope. Or Dodgers. Nah, I don't like the Dodgers. Miami Marlins, they have a really cool logo, but that's about it. They're not a good team. The Brewers, yeah, they're good. Like you said, as you whispered, you could have said it into the microphone.
Oh, yeah, I like the Brewers.
Okay. All right. We figured that out. Moving on to the NFL, what team would you pick as your favorite if the Chiefs went poof?
That's a really hard question. I don't really know. I really just really like the Chiefs. I feel like it would maybe be the Green Bay Packers. Maybe. But I don't really know. I'd probably just not watch football.
Wow. Okay. A flip question for you. If Chris Jones ever left the Chiefs, would you be a fan of the team that he went to play for?
I would be a fan, but not a huge fan.
Okay.
I still like him, though. I think I have a lot of respect for him.
You have a lot of respect for him? I have a lot of respect for him, too. Great. I mean, it's great. Okay. Here's some more questions for you. I've got more for you. Oh, yeah. We're here. What sport would you, if you could play a sport right now, any sport, what sport would you play?
I really liked playing volleyball when I was a child.
Okay.
Honestly, pretty good.
I feel like you could be a really good diver.
I'm a really good swimmer, too. I'm a really
not
good
swimming,
swimmer.
Not swimming, diving. I want you to go up 50 feet and just cannonball.
I would probably get a concussion.
Just cannonball down.
I'm good. Thanks for the offer, though.
Also, I could see you maybe being a DH for softball, like a nice DH for softball.
I can't run. I would fall right on my face because I'm clumsy.
Oh, yeah. You aren't wrong there. Okay, all right. If you didn't pick UCM to be the school you went to, what school would you go to?
I don't really know. Maybe KU with my little brother. I don't know. Like, I'm born on the Kansas side.
That is true. She is born on the Kansas side, folks. Give her some heck. Boo, KU.
Rock chalk, baby. But, like, I just don't know. I don't have a preference, really. I really like it here at UCM. Yeah. I'd probably go to, like, a small school because small is more me than, like, a large campus. Like, right. I think I'd be very overwhelmed.
She loves to let her know her name be known, folks.
No, I don't.
Oh, yes, you do. All righty. We know who your favorite college is because you've kind of already hinted at it as it being Kansas. Who's your least favorite college?
Missouri Tigers. Boo.
You don't like MIZZOU?
I went to a football game and I thought I was going to die.
Why? It was actually fun. We won. We beat Louisiana Tech.
Let's just say it was fun in quotes, but as a Kansas fan, I wanted to fall asleep.
Oh, yeah, I know. I have a great picture, actually, of you from that day. You have your little, like, drawstring bag on or whatever, Lululemon handbag. I don't know what you call
those. It's called an everywhere belt bag, but okay, bud.
Everywhere belt bag? Nice. You had it wrapped around you, and it was just like, you looked like you were the happiest person on earth.
Every 5 seconds they'd say, MIZZOU, and I'm like, oh my goodness.
Hey, they also played the trumpets. They played the trumpets.
That was fun, because I know that from the Mets. Yes, but in the way that I was like, oh gosh, put me to sleep.
Put you to sleep. Okay.
Plus, we were late, so that was not funny.
We can blame my father.
And Charles.
Charles.
And
Charles,
Zoe.
Charles. I blame Charles.
I'm blaming both. I'm going to blame Charles, too. Yeah. And Zoe.
My dad. I feel like my dad was ready.
Your dad was ready to go.
He was just waiting on Charles.
Yep. So we were literally like pulling in, and I felt
and
so bad for
my dad knew teaching. I was mad. My dad knew I was mad. I was like, you guys, I told you what time to be here. And apparently, Charles didn't want to get off work early.
But it just was really hard because I wanted JT to like enjoy it because his two best friends, Blake and Will, go there. And I wanted him to enjoy like tailgating and enjoying it. But we literally didn't have time to do anything. We literally showed up, went to our seats, and just sat there.
Yeah.
Like it just wasn't cool. Like a college football experience.
Yeah, not fun. All right, I got two more questions. These actually are non-sports related. Where would you want to live? Where would you want to live right now? Like if you had to pick, where is your dream place to live?
I like Georgia. Like, I like the South, but at the same time, I don't like being hot.
Yeah.
But I really love the state of Wisconsin, too, like, just because I have a house up there, and I think it's beautiful. But the winters, I think, would just be the end of it for me.
Be the end.
But I feel like it would, I like where we live now. Like, I kind of just, I think it's the perfect thing for me.
Okay. And my last question for you is, where would you love to travel? It can be anywhere on this earth. Where would you love to travel to?
I want to go to Greece, or I really like Paris. Okay. I think Greece would be really fun. Like, I think it would be fun to live my Mamma Mia dream.
Yeah. All right. All right. All right. That's it for Haley. I want to thank her for coming on my show. It's been a pleasure to have her. We've laughed a lot. We've done some done some weird things, but it's been fun to have her on. And I really want these, like, this was my second to last and my last one coming. I want to entertain you guys, but I also want to just enjoy it. I want to soak in the moment, as I know my college career is actually coming to an end. And I'm on to bigger and better things, hopefully, and it's gonna be fun. I can't wait. It's gonna be fun, but I also just wanna take time and soak it in. So maybe these last two won't be as professional as they've rather been. So I think it's gonna be more of a laid back kind of show on the last one. But also, I just wanna thank you all for listening and tuning in to all my shows. It's been a great time.
And thank you for having me. I had a blast, and I had a lot of fun laughing with you.
Yeah, it's been fun. This was fun.
I would do it again.
Oh, I'm glad you would. I don't know about me yet. We'll see.
That's disrespectful.
I know. But I want to thank you all for listening. I love you all. And a huge shout out to Jacob Elliott and his horse, TK. I know he's going through some stuff right now with his horse. I'm sending prayers your way, Jacob. Just know your horse is going to be in good hands. And I love you, brother. You have a great one. And I will talk to you all later. Peace out, Girl Scout. Bye.